Morning Show at Night. My name is Cassidy Williams, and I am accompanied by my wonderful, delightful co-host, Zach Plata. Hey, Zach.
Hey, Cass. An extra adjective that time.
Yeah, I know. Things up. You're so many things.
What are you up to this weekend?
Well, I am in Philadelphia, as you can see by the Liberty Bell and cheesesteak words behind me. And so I'm gonna see some family, gonna eat lots of food. It should be good. Well, without further ado, we have our next guest on the show. And, oh my goodness, what a cool company he's a part of. Brian Rinaldi. He's a developer experience engineer at Launch Darkly. Brian, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So glad to have you. For a little bit of context, everybody, when we were first starting the show, Brian was our test subject as we tested out our questions to see if anybody would actually want to answer them.
It was fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Now we have the real thing. And so this is going to be a 100% flawless episode.
Absolutely. Flawless.
I'm just trying to remember my answers from last time.
Oh, yeah. Just copy yourself. It's the best kind. Although copying yourself is really humbling when, like, you look for an old Stack Overflow answer or something and it's your own and you're just like, dang it.
Yeah. Now, what I need is, you know how you can create this AI artwork and stuff like that now, right?
Yeah.
I was having a conversation earlier. I'm like, wouldn't it be awesome? Like, you have an AI, like me in the meeting kind of thing. It could predict what I normally would say, things like that. And I'll just, yeah. So this is AI me, by the way, just.
Okay, cool.
Perfect.
So
just so you know.
Brian is an AI confirmed. Great. Well, besides being an AI, what are you working on right now, Brian?
I am working on, number of different projects. The big one is, well, I don't know if you've heard of this conference called reInvent.
That's a big one.
So yeah, we have a big presence there, and we have there's this thing called a jam, which is like kind of like a hackathon, but a little bit different format. We have to finish, like, accomplish a bunch of tasks as a team and stuff like that. And we have one that we're building. So I built that one out, and it sounds like it should be easy, but it's really not. Cause they have a whole system to build it into that you have to kind of fit it into the jam.
Oh,
yeah. Conform. It's like a custom built system to run these jams that you have to kind of, So it's been a fun project, but it's a lot of work.
Interesting. So it's like a very custom hackathon of sorts.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. So, yeah, you basically have to create different tasks, and then they have to go into, you know, creates like, it spins up a whole, like, account for them on AWS and everything that they have to go into and try and complete the task in there. And then I have to build, like, a validation function that goes out and checks whether you completed the task by running your function and seeing the output, or checking DynamoDB and seeing that things were inserted and things like that. So, yeah.
Gotcha.
That's fun.
Well, that's cool.
It is kind of cool. It's a lot. It's frustrating, but also cool.
It's work, but it's cool.
Well, speaking of building cool systems, it is time for our ad read by a company that makes awesome systems.
The Dev Morning Show at Night is a sponsored podcast. I mean, someone has to pay the bills around here. We're sponsored by Launch Darkly, and Launch Darkly is the first scalable feature management platform. That means dev teams can innovate and get better software to customers faster. How? By gradually releasing new software features and shipping code whenever they want, fast-tracking their journeys to the cloud, and building stronger relationships with business teams. Thanks for the money, Launch Darkly.
So, Brian, what does your day-to-day look like?
My day-to-day is a lot of, like, writing. I write a lot of dumb demos, a lot of blog posts, a lot of videos and conference sessions.
Newsletter. You run the Jamstack newsletter.
I do run the Jamstack. Yes. I also run, like, a local meetup. I run online meetups. But most of the time I'm working on, like, writing something. Like, that's kind of the core of my job. It's like, I'm either writing a blog post, or I'm writing documentation, or, like, you know, some kind of guide or things like that. That's kind of where my, That's my favorite thing to do, honestly.
And what kind of tools are you using on a day-to-day? Whether you're like writing for your blogs or for code or whatever.
You know, most of my work is front-end focused. So like, you know, well, front-end and like serverless stuff. So I spend, if I'm coding, it's mostly in VS Code. I spend almost all my time doing stuff in VS Code. You know, I don't, outside of that, I mean, it's kind of the usual stuff like GitHub you know, I use Tycora for like lots of Markdown stuff, which is like my favorite little Markdown editor.
Interesting.
Oh. Yeah.
I'm Team Obsidian, but Tycora is definitely one that I thought about for a Markdown editor for myself.
Yeah, I've been using it because it was free for years while they were in beta. It was been a long time, and I got really used to it and really liked
That's
it.
How they
I haven't
you.
Tried Obsidian. What made you choose that over Tycora?
So what I like about it is the tagging and linking and the plugin system, because I switched over to Obsidian from Bear, and Bear is Mac only, and that was the main reason why I left, because I have a PC as well. And with Obsidian, you can backlink and kind of create a wiki for yourself in addition to tagging your notes, like with hashtags. But then they also have a plugin system where, like, for example, one of them lets you query your notes as if it's like a database of notes. And it has like a graph view of how all of your notes are connected and stuff. And I could turn this entire podcast into an Obsidian podcast. But anyway, between the basic linking and then the very powerful plugins, it does what I want it to do.
That's cool. I definitely have to check that out, because I mean, I think it's just one of those things. I haven't found a reason to do something other than Tycora. Even when they charged, it was like nominal. It's like, okay, I'll cover that.
Right.
They make good software. So, but yeah, I, you know, those are kind of my tools. It's not that complicated to do my job in some respects. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think in general, like, When you have the basic tools, that means that they can just kind of get out of your way so you can do the work that you enjoy and stuff. And that's really what matters about them in the end.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, yeah. And thankfully we got, you know, I've been doing this a long time. It's nice to have like great tools, like VS Code. I love VS Code. And it's like, you know, but I used to pay for managers. I mean, like when I got started, it was like, you know, I had to pay like, you know, I remember trying to buy the Dreamweaver because I really wanted, when I was learning, it was like $600, and you're talking like this is in like 1997. It's like, you know,
yeah. Adobe stuff in general. I don't mind paying for software, kind of like what you said with Tycora. Like if it's good software, it's good software and I'll use it. But when it's so expensive that, and you're not sure if you'll like it and it's a barrier to entry, like the cost is a barrier to entry, that's when I'm not as much of a fan.
Exactly. Yeah. It was hard to get started. You had to like have a budget for the software, because, you know, it was not cheap back then. Now it's like, I'll just, you know, download VS Code and I start coding JavaScript. I'm good to go. Everything's free. Yeah.
I remember like doing stuff on Sublime Text, and I mean, if I'd used it for so long, I probably would have paid for it. But I was so annoyed by the whole pop-up thing that came up every so often when I was into it. And I was like, oh, gosh, got in my workflow.
Come on. Breaking your focus, your flow.
I know.
All right. It is time for rapid-fire questions. We are going to ask you questions rapidly. And the first one is, we all are squatting on domain names and project ideas. What are some of yours?
So I've been good about unloading all the domain names I'd squatted for a long time, but I have one that I've kept for reasons that I can't entirely explain. It's wholeenchilada.com. So
I feel like that's a good one to keep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently it's worth something too. Like I could sell it for, you know, so I'm like, maybe I should sell it. I don't know. But yeah, the original idea was, I run a lot of events, and I was going to run an event that was basically like going to be about different things, but it would be the whole enchilada, like of JavaScript, or the whole enchilada of, I never got around, I did have a logo and everything, but I never got around to actually launching the events under that name. But I keeping it thinking, I'm going to come up with something that I can kind of pull back that logo and use it for. I see you're already you have ideas.
I'm like noodling on this because anything could be the whole enchilada. It could even be a framework if you wanted to make a framework that does everything.
Oh.
It's the whole enchilada.
Yeah, I know. It sounds a little above my skill grade, though.
But you have the bases.
Yeah,
Yeah,
you have the domain name, and
I
that's
have the
what
domain
matters. That's
name
all that matters.
and a logo. The rest is like, yeah.
Details.
All right. What is the most recent thing you over-optimized?
Yeah, so I was thinking about that question since y'all sent it to me before, and I'm like, over-optimizing is probably nowadays like not it's not even like something a problem I have. I really I I'm yeah, I don't even think I've over-optimized anything in a long time. Now go back a
Wow.
while in my career, and yes, this was a huge problem of mine. To where I didn't get projects done on time because they had to be done perfectly. And I was a total perfectionist, and I think I've kind of gone the other way where I'm like, I just want to get this done. I don't tend to over-optimize things much. Maybe it's because I
That's
just
good.
build
That's
demos.
probably a sign of wisdom.
Is it really? Oh, let's just pretend it is. I'll take that as a
Sure.
compliment.
It is.
So wise. Wow, Brian, go you. What is your golden rule then for coding or working in general?
So yeah, I think my golden rule would be that, I mean, it's not an original thought, but like basically that everything you write today, tomorrow you'll look back on and pretty much be like, oh God, I can't believe I wrote that. And I say that because, as I mentioned, this was a problem for me early on. Like I love to learn, and I was so into like learning new stuff and new frameworks, and so there was always a slightly more perfect way to do something, and in my mind anyway, there was no real perfect way to do it. But like I'm like, oh yeah, if I just did this, this would just be such better code. Like I was overly focused on the quality of my code and probably under focused on delivering the code. And so yeah, so what I learned was like I kept releasing things that like I'm like, this code is like it's ideal, it's so good. And
The
then I'd look
one.
back a month later, I'm like, yeah, I really should have done that differently. And I've already learned something that we're yeah, so which is kind of I think led me to a place where like I feel much better. I can deliver actual projects on time now. This is quite the accomplishment. Yeah.
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah, it's good to have that good balance there.
Yeah. Maybe I over corrected.
Overcorrected. You gotta swing the
Yeah,
pendulum a few times.
yeah.
Fair, fair. Okay, so what is your favorite it depends question?
Yeah, I don't know that I have one. I thought about it and I'm like, I don't know what. Everything is it depends, isn't it? And I don't know.
That's true.
Pretty
It's
much.
everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again,
So,
a true sign of wisdom. It depends what my answer is.
yes, there you go. That would be the witty
It's very
response. So
meta.
let's edit that back and throw that in my mouth.
Great. Perfect. Editors, you know what to do.
It's just Cassidy's voice, Brian's mouth saying
Yeah. Deep fake.
it. Yeah, perfect. What's the oldest piece of tech that you still own?
Oldest piece of tech that I still own. Well, it's not related to coding, but I still have my Wii sitting around somewhere.
That's pretty great.
Yes.
The Wii holds up.
It does, right? Like it's like I like we got the bowling whatever sports for the Switch.
Heck
It's
yes.
like, Wii Sports was better.
I agree. I agree. My grandparents got Wii Sports like in the retirement area that they live in, and it's very funny because my grandparents are very good at bowling. but not at Wii Bowling. And they called us very angrily and were like, we need you to get us a Wii so that we can practice and beat our neighbors. And we're like, oh, it's very competitive amongst all of these old people to be very good at Wii Bowling.
Yeah, you know, Wii Bowling is a particular skill. It's like, it has nothing to do with actual bowling at all. I mean, I used to sit there on my couch, like basketball, doing basketball. I'm just in there.
Yeah, Wii Tennis, yeah. So good.
Yeah, they remember when we said this was like a workout, and then about, like once we got used to it, it's like no, I'm just sitting.
I made my wrist get a workout. Certain way.
I need some exercise.
Yeah.
What was the last piece of cringy code you wrote?
I think you could tell by my prior answers that pretty much every piece of code that I write is pretty cringy.
So what was yesterday?
No.
The DynamoDB thing.
Yeah. I wrote this presentation. It's all about feature flags, of course, because, you know, I'm working LaunchDarkly. So anyway, and I was like, you know what I'm going to do that would be really cool, because it's really hard to show off feature flags, is I'm going to actually make the presentation built with feature flags, right? Yeah, so you think, okay, well, that should be easy. Like Reveal.js or whatever, it's all JavaScript, right? Super easy, except it turns out that feature flags and presentation frameworks are like kind of a weird mix. It's not really like, it's not like a problem we LaunchDarkly should solve, because it's like, who should be doing this outside of me? I understand that like Reveal.js wasn't really built for me to be like feature flagging and change, but yeah, the two didn't mix very well. So like people came up to me afterwards and they're like, oh, can I have the slides, like the GitHub for the slides? And I'm like, I'll share it with you, but please understand that everything in there is 100% not what I'd recommend that you do. It's like a total hack to make a presentation work with feature flags.
I could see it being kind of like a fun way to improvise a talk, where you're just like, it could be any one of these different directions that we go in, and like a choose your own adventure almost, but you have no control.
Yeah. Oh, that's.
But
that's,
I could also see that being. Stop. But I can see that also being chaotic, trying to make that work together.
Yeah.
So like mine was more like, there was a couple of things. First of all, I started off with like, it looks like it has the wrong title, and it has like wrong layout. Like the color scheme is all messed up. And I'm like, oh yeah, let me go and like, let me fix that. And let me fix that. And I'm just flipping flags and getting it right. And the rest of it is really just like that the demos are in line. So like, I can actually click a button in the presentation, and it flips flags and changes things and things like that, which I think it makes it fun, because it's like, I was like, well, how do we make it
interactive?
Yeah, it's like a dry topic, right? Like, I mean, it could be kind of boring, but made a little more fun. I hope. I don't know. That's my opinion, but maybe the attendees thought differently.
Well, hey, if they ask for your slides after, chances are it went well.
Yeah. Now we're going to get like support questions of like, they copied this code from this slide deck,
and it's just like, oh, what have I done?
Yeah.
What is your favorite programming joke or pun?
Oh, geez, that's another one that I don't know that I have. You, I just like, you are a fountain of them. Come on, give me one.
I do enjoy a good programming joke, because I am a professional. That was terrible. I just pulled that out of my butt.
I'm sorry. I put you on the spot. This is totally my fault, because I'm just like unprepared for that one, because I'm like, I don't know. Everything I do, like my kids say, everything I do is like a dad joke. So I'm like,
programming dad jokes? I'm not a dad, but I am a faux pas. And I think that dad jokes are great.
Nice,
Dad. All right. You saved yourself.
Yeah.
Recovery from that last one.
Well, what is your most used emoji?
Oh, my most used emoji would probably be, it's a kind of a tie between the raised eyebrow. I often use the kind of expressionless, like you know.
Oh yeah, the
yeah
straight face one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Yeah,
that's a good one when I'm upset.
Yeah, I also think like, you know, rather than I may not have many jokes, but like, I think those emojis blend themselves to somebody whose humor leans sarcastic too. So
yeah. It's solid dry humor stuff.
Exactly. That's me. That's why I don't have any jokes, because that's not my humor. I'm not a joke telling.
Keep it dry.
Yeah. I would have made it in British humor maybe if I were born there.
Oh yeah. Mm. They know what they're doing. Yeah. All right. It is time for the random segment generator. Ah. Okay, we have a bunch of random segments for you. And the first one is Dev Opposites. What do you do outside of your day job? What are your hobbies?
I am a big gamer.
Ooh.
Yeah,
What games?
Quite a few. Lately, I've been putting, like, in the more solo kind of games, I've been putting a lot of time into a game called Horizon Forbidden West.
Nice. I've been wanting to try that one.
It is. I mean, I loved the first one. It was one of my favorite games ever. And this one is excellent. The problem is I am a completist. I don't know if you like if that's a real term. No. But yeah, so like I'm the type of person who has to finish every single side quest before I only get back to the main story when it's like I'm blocked from moving forward with side quests because I need to complete something in the main story. So I am like hundreds of hours in and I'm probably only like 3/4 of the way through the story, but I have every side quest done, every single one. There's like no, there's so many side quests. So like there's some that I don't really like that I'm like, I'm not going to do that. But outside of that, I mean, all the main side quests are done. Yeah. So that Destiny, put a lot of time in Destiny too.
Nice.
In Apex Legends, and now that it's just got re-released, Overwatch. I came back to Overwatch. I always loved Overwatch.
Yeah, I saw that new version, and all the people posting screenshots like Overwatch is dead, and then it was back with the new version.
Yeah, exactly. Because they took it offline, the old one offline, and then had like a completely abysmal launch to the new one. Still has problems. Yeah. So it's not going well. And the weirdest part is, not to get sidetracked on the topic, but
it's okay, it's seeing a side quest.
It doesn't sound like either of you are Overwatch players, but it's literally the same game. Like they call it Overwatch 2, but it's like you slightly tweaked the game modes and you added a couple characters. Like what's 2 about it? I don't get it. Like I still love it. Well, it's still fun, but like, yeah.
Yeah, I tried it a couple times. Like, it was entertaining. I play Fortnite because I like dancing. Right. But, yeah, like, it didn't... That's surprising that it's not that different.
No, yeah, it's really not different. Like, almost like at all.
Marketing fluff. Just put 2.0.
And it's weird because it was, like, years of development to get them set. And then you have this big problematic launch, and you're like, but you're launching the same game you've been running for like 6 years. I don't get it. Like it really didn't change, but
that's really odd, huh?
I'm sure there's lots going on under the scenes that I don't understand, but still.
Sure.
Yeah.
As a user.
Yeah.
I played Fortnite for a little bit, but I stink at it.
So
I can't do third person shooters. Like it's just.
I kind of like the third person perspective. It I don't know. I like that in like the Zelda games. I in general, I like being able to kind of see everything around.
It's fun. I like how Fortnite has just become so extensible with like all these different. You can add concerts, and now there's a Star Wars theme or whatever. And it's like, okay, you'll drop me back in every so often.
It's like the metaverse, but better.
Oh yeah,
because
yeah.
It's actually fun, and you have legs to by default. Like you don't have to like.
Yeah, legs, what a concept. I also think just in general, it's a marketing machine and they give the people what they want. And yeah. So, like, people who are really into anime, they had so much Dragon Ball last season. People who are into Star Wars, done. Indiana Jones, done. Like, they're just, they pull in all of the fandoms, and it works really well.
Yeah. They are good about that. I liked it. I just was not very good at it. So, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Building is hard.
Yeah.
Oh, building, yeah. I was terrible.
I ran away.
Hide in a bush.
Okay, well, if you weren't in this industry, what would you be doing?
Let's see. Honestly, I studied history, and I wanted to be a college professor in history. Mm. And I was even getting my master's in history, and then just that, like, fell into this industry, yeah.
Wow.
You know, well, my history skills just really easily, you know, pivoted to programming. I'm kidding, of course, right?
There's a dry humor.
I was like...
Maybe that. I kind of think, like, but given all the years looking back, I would have been an economist. I love studying, like, reading about that stuff. And, yeah, it's really fascinating to me. And I don't know. I think I wish I had studied it more. Now I'm kind of like a... amateur. I just read people who are experts and then form opinions.
I mean, at least that way it can be more of like a fun thing that you learn about rather than like I'm dependent on my career to be this thing. And you never know.
Yeah, it's true. You know, as soon as it becomes your career, then it's like, yeah, I wish I had done something else. You know.
All right, moving on to the next segment. It's what are you proud of? So, what is something that you created or shipped recently that you want to talk about?
So, I mean, it's not something I shipped recently, as in like new. I've been doing it for a long time, but I run a site called CFE.dev that I've been running for the crazy part's like now been over 5 years. It's all virtual events.
Time flies.
I know, right? So it's, yeah. And Cassie's been a speaker. But it's all like virtual events. It's been 5 years. I mean, to think like 5 years ago, 5+ years ago, people were like, we have virtual events. Like, who wants that? Nobody wants that. Even I was like that, to be quite honest. I kind of fell into it. It's funny. I was like, I don't know if virtual events are good, but it's like I can get this going and see how I like it. And then like now 5 years later.
Little did you know.
Yeah, exactly. So like we have 2 speakers at least a month. So it's like every other week I host somebody. Recently started like adding some additional programming in there too. But like, and I've had great speakers and it takes up honestly so much of like my weekends. Like I set aside Sunday is the day to sit there and like work on this because it's always like, okay, find new speakers, working on sponsors because all of it costs money, you know, updating the site and fixing issues and adding new events. And I mean, it's like newsletters and blah, blah, blah. I don't say that I do a great job of it, but I do enough to kind of keep
honestly, the consistency part is the hardest part of anything. Like whether or not you do a good job, consistency for 5 years is... that's been amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Thanks.
All right. It is our last segment, and it is Launch Lightly, Crash Darkly. Heh, what a fun name. What advice do you
Where
have?
Where did that come from? I don't...
I have no idea. What advice do you have for someone just getting into the development world?
I'd say, okay, couple of things. Number one, don't jump right into like frameworks and tools and stuff like that. I feel like I meet so many people, particularly in web development, like now it feels like they know how to do things in React, but like take React away. And it's like, how do you do this without React? It's like, wait, you can do that without React? I'm an old, kind of crabby old guy, but, you know, I get,
yeah, like, you're so crabby.
Yes, I am. I'm super crabby. You can tell. Not on podcasts, but as soon as I'm off, like as soon as this camera goes off, I really
The
forget.
It's because
frown.
Overwatch 2 just didn't
Yeah,
fulfill that need.
ruined everything.
But yeah, so you know, so I was a reluctant person on some of these tools, and like I was like, okay, fine, I'll use React if I have to. But I do feel like it part of it is that I've been around long enough to know like things change, and actually sometimes they change way faster than you anticipate they're going to change. I as a kind of old school example, I was literally working in Adobe on Flash and ActionScript, and like that was my thing that I was in, like that all ended li overnight. I mean, it was there was a Steve Jobs letter, and we thought things were going, but we thought things had kind of stabilized, and all of a sudden I get one day it's like, yeah, you're not doing ActionScript and Flash anymore, you're doing all JavaScript and HTML and
Man.
CSS and stuff like that. And it's like, I already knew a lot of that stuff, but the point is like I had to switch gears very quickly, and a lot of the tools I can list you all kinds of tools I use that just, at the time seemed like, well, that's never going to go away, and then it goes away, and you have to kind of have some skills to fall back on, I guess. And it may seem
Yeah.
like some of these tools like React are not going to ever go anywhere, and then you look back in 5 years and you're like, oh yeah, I totally disappeared, and I had to really pivot, and I never really thought about it, but at the time it seemed inevitable that this was going to be the way it is eternally. It just doesn't work out that way.
If you could undo one thing in your career, what would it be? Or change?
Did I mention that whole Flash thing?
Oh,
No, I'm kidding.
that.
I kid. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't be here where I am today if it wasn't for Flash. So I'm totally cool, and
Right.
even Cold Fusion and all that stuff. If I had to undo one thing in my career, it would be my first public speaking. I felt like it went just
Ooh.
really poorly, and I'm surprised I managed to keep. To get invited back. I made a number of dumb mistakes. Mistake number one, staying out too late drinking the night
Oh
before.
no.
Yes, that
Ooh,
was
that
bad.
would do it.
Yeah, that was mistake number one. And mistake number two was like that didn't help the fact that I was like super super nervous, and like when you get nervous and you start talking, like I naturally will talk fast when I speak, and I have to focus on like slowing down, but I was like hyper nervous, and I spoke way too fast, so my session was short. I had screw ups in my slides that I somehow missed until I got there because I just really, I guess, didn't rehearse enough. I don't know. It was like, I don't know if it was a comedy of errors or tragedy, but it was something that I don't want to have to repeat.
Well, and last but not least, Brian, what is one thing that you're really excited about in the web development, software development industry right now?
So I'd say there's a couple things. They're both kind of related. One is I'm really excited about edge functions and like edge computing stuff. I think it's just one of these things that like it's one of those tools that you're like, okay, I can see a couple quick, easy wins with that, and then the more you dig into it, you're like, oh, but I could do that, and I could do that too. And I'm like, just the way, it kind of the edge functions sit there and intercept the request and the response, right? And I can manipulate those pieces and do all kinds of things. Like I started messing with flags on the edge, which was of course something that I was doing for work, which I could suddenly start shifting what you see based on flip of feature flag, and I could even take static content and I'm modifying that content and making it really dynamic, or doing all kinds of like redirecting based on different parameters, or I mean, it's one of those things that I think we're only really starting to see what the possibilities of doing things there are, because It's not like, oh, hey, this is just a serverless function running on the edge. This is, it functions very differently. It's not an end. It's like intercepting before it ever hits the endpoint or coming back from the endpoint kind of thing. So it really alters the way you can think about how architecting things. So I love that. And not unrelated. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I agree with you. It's something that I feel like, first of all, there's so much opportunity for education with them because it's so new that people don't fully understand them. Like, I do understand them, but half the time I'm just like, but do I? And so I think there's a lot of opportunity there, not only to understand it more, but then once more people do understand it, the things that they'll build, I think, will be really cool.
Yeah, yeah. And it's very early days. So, like, all the platforms are quite different. And one of the things that was complicated that they're already starting to solve this problem is like data at the edge, because it's like, well, yeah, I can move all this logic to the edge, but then my data still sits in some server halfway across the globe. And so it's like, you have that latency involved and things like that. So like they're already starting to find like edge enabled, like databases or data stores and all kinds of things like that that starts to solve that problem. It's like, and then the more you solve these problems, the more possibilities it opens up to like really take advantage of it. So yeah, super excited about that. And not completely unrelated, but like there's a lot of new set of tools like your Astro or your Remix, or even Svelte is not so new anymore, but it's still, you know, doing lots of different things that I think also take advantage of the edge, number one, and number two, kind of really getting back to the basics of building things. Like I don't have to know, like in Astro, I don't have to know the Astro way of building things. It's like mostly just JavaScript, right? Svelte is very similar, right? Like I feel like I'm writing JavaScript again. It's not like, well, I know how to do this in JavaScript, but how do I do it in React is always something like that I end up kind of fighting against. Like, whereas like with this, it's like, okay, I know how to do it in JavaScript, so I know how to do it, right? Like end of story.
Right.
It's just like
it feels
lots
very
of little
native.
Helpers. It does. And I love that. So I'm excited about those tools and even the way that they take advantage of like edge framework, edge functions and things like that to really, you know, build really fast, really cool sites.
All right, everybody, it's that time of the show. Get your sage out. It's time for some sage advice. When you are learning to code or learning something new, don't forget the basics. Kind of like what Brian had gone through with his career with having to pivot everything and having to change full languages, frameworks, and concepts that he was building with. A lot of times when you're building, there might be something that changes entirely, whether it's a new version, a new technology, a deprecation, something, you're going to have to adjust. So don't stick to your guns too much when you're learning. Understand the basic fundamentals of what you need to know so that when it's time to transition, you can handle it with as much grace as possible. That being said, Brian, thank you so much for being on the show with us today.
Thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun. And that was very sage advice.
Oh, thank you. So sage.
Lots of sage.
Yeah. Brian, where can people find you on the internet? Do you have anything to plug?
So I'm Remote Synth. That's with S-Y-N-T-H. Basically every platform, you know, that I'm on anyway. You can find me there on Twitter, on everything else. If you want to play me on the, even on Xbox or PlayStation, I'm a Remote Synth on there too. So so that, and I'd say other than plug, I already plugged CFE.dev, which is, you know, kind of my passion. So those two things, and Launch Darkly, but you did that for me. So.
Oh yeah, don't worry. We'll hear from them again. And once again, because making podcasts is expensive, this show is brought to you by Launch Darkly. Launch Darkly toggles peaks of 20 trillion feature flags each day, and that number continues to grow, and you should use them. You can head over to launchdarkly.com and learn about how. Thank you for making this show possible, Launch Darkly. I've been Cassidy Williams. You can find me at Cassidoo, C-A-S-S-I-D-O-O, on most things. And I'm CTO over at Contenda.
And I'm Zach, and I'm a DevRel at Arrive. And you can find me on Twitter at Zach Plata.
Thank you for tuning into the Dev Morning Show at Night. Make sure you head over to our YouTube channel where you can like and subscribe. You can also listen to the audio version of this wherever you get your podcasts.